This is part three of a three-part interview with Lieutenant William Driscoll, United States Navy. This interview is being conducted at the Naval Air Station Miramar, San Diego, California, on 15 March 1974. The interviewer is Captain R.A. Bowling, United States Navy, retired graduate student at San Diego State University. Please continue, Lieutenant Driscoll.
As we traveled throughout the country, again, we repeatedly pointed out to the American people who the real heroes of this conflict were and who the real people of this conflict were in terms of who deserved the credit and the attention and, most importantly, the idea of not to be forgotten by the American people. And that was our men, again, in my case, friends, fellow aviators who were sitting in the prison camps of North Vietnam. Again, I tried to reiterate, based on what I knew concerning their treatment, which in almost all cases was grossly inhumane. I don't think it's necessary to discuss that specifically now, since our men have returned. They have brought to light many of their experiences in these camps, which again, I think all can see were in many cases grossly humane.
One thing though, Lieutenant, that at the time you were traveling around, now we didn't have our prisoners back yet, what were your ideas at that time? Because at about the same time that you were traveling around, you had some of these anti-war people traveling around. At that time, what was your feeling?
My feeling hasn't changed any at all. Before I went over, while I was there, when I first came back, or now. And that, first of all, certainly I was there realizing that I could end up a prisoner myself. I was there of my own free will. I could have left any time, turned my wings in, or said, I've had enough at any time that I wanted to. I won't say that I enjoyed doing what I did. However, it's not my duty to start wars or decide wars, only to win them. And I was there as a matter of professional pride and as a matter of professional spirit, and most importantly because I believed in my country and I believed that what I was doing was the right thing. Again, not necessarily as a deterrent to communism or as an attempt to exert the democratic rule on the country of South Vietnam, more specifically as a feeling on my part that my country knew much more and were privy to much more of the secret inklings of the exact situation than I was. And I, as an observer and as a participant, could see on a daily basis the flagrantly obvious attempts at aggression, flagrantly obvious attempts, and not only attempts, but flagrantly obvious and open hostilities of one country against another, and one country with Soviet support in terms of equipment and operators and advisors in the field on a 24-hour basis. It was completely obvious to me, and I never at any time had even the remotest doubt, number one, why I was there, what I was doing, and what my final purpose was and what I was doing. Again, realizing that at any time I could have been hit or I could have gone down prior to hitting the water. And could have perhaps had the same fate as those of whom I have referred.
Would you say that your thoughts in this respect, professionalism and so forth, is indicative of the average or majority or whatever it is of your squadron mates?
I would say positively. As a matter of fact, I can't think of one man in my squadron or other friends in other squadrons that feel any differently. Some, of course, feel more intently in terms of bombing and killing the commie pinkos, for instance. There, of course, is that faction. Most, however, feel a certain dedication to what they're doing, not in a necessarily flag-raising, rah-rah, love mom, apple pie in America type feeling, but more in a feeling of, I would say, educated professional pride, believing, number one, that they were there for a reason. The reason was obvious to them because they saw it every day flying over the bad man's country, for the enemy's country. And number two, they would do their level best to try and help in their own small way in an attempt to curb the hostilities of the enemy and of the enemy's utilizations of Soviet-related and Chinese-related equipment. This, I would say, was the feeling, again, I call it not a primitive rah-rah, we love the country, but a more of an educated, highly developed, keen awareness of why we were there. And we talked on numerous occasions of pros and cons of the war and our areas of disagreement between aviators themselves when talking about the war related more specifically with the manner in which it was being fought as opposed to why we were there in the first place. We never once doubted that. And when we say our manner of the way it was fought, we stood up and literally cheered the mining of the harbor in North Vietnam. We certainly welcomed the opportunity to go into the heartland of North Vietnam, into the strategic military nerve center in terms of its airfields, its oil fields, its refineries, its electrical plants, and to say once and for all, okay, you wanted war, you wanted aggression, we're going to give you some war, we're going to give you some aggression. And when we went in, I'm firmly convinced, when we went in with the B-52s in late December 1972, we literally broke the will and we broke the back of that country to sustain any type of a war effort. And thus, like all Soviet-related powers, we showed them power, we showed them we came to work, we were not here to talk, we were not here to second guess, we were here to fight because that's all they knew. We gave them a power display and a power play. We literally brought them to their knees. We totally crippled their economy, their way of life, their war machine, hence peace negotiations. Up until that time, up until we had done that, because the communist mind knows nothing besides power, up until we'd done that, we had gotten nothing besides lies, propaganda, and idle, meaningless promises, which we are all aware of from reading the papers on a daily basis. And we can just remember how long those peace talks dragged on, and then when the B-52s went to work, it was a matter of weeks before an agreement was reached.
As we know now, and as you know now, Lieutenant Driscoll, one Navy fighter squadron, or I guess it was attack squadron leader, did take an anti-war stance. In fact, has admitted a sense of return that he collaborated, and willingly so. Do you know the gentleman I'm speaking about?
No, I don't. I think I'm familiar with the case. I've read about it in the newspapers.
You don't know the gentleman himself, but you know about the case.
Yes, I do.
And you would say that that was an aberration? That's the only one you ever knew of it?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to all the prisoners of war that have returned. I have talked to a great number since I'm analyzing in my line of work right now why some of these people were shot down, why the Soviet-associated weapons worked against some of our people. I have had the opportunity to talk, therefore, to numerous Air Force and Navy pilots who spent anywhere from 7 to 5 years in the prison camps, and I have not had the opportunity to talk to one man who did not believe in his country or what he did, or would not be willing to go back and do what he did in the past as a flyer, who would not be willing to go back and do that again.
And how many such gentlemen have you interviewed?
It's difficult to say the exact number. I'd say 50 to 60, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Out of 50 to 60, you're saying not a single one took an opposite view from what you have just previously described?
Yes, that's correct.
That's good. Well, one last thing, Lieutenant Driscoll, if you would please, for the record, could you enumerate if you wish, your combat decorations?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, I presently, of course, was nominated for the Medal of Honor when I returned, and it's still under nomination, although I think it's time now that we would have been awarded the medal if it was going to, we were going to get a thumbs up on it, but that is its present status. I wear 11 air medals, one Navy Cross, two Silver Stars, Purple Heart, National Defense Medal, Navy Commendation Medal, Presidential Unit Citation, South Vietnamese Medal of Honor. Yeah, I'm sure I'm leaving out several, but those are the ones
you're leaving out the area one, but your personal citations.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Driscoll, for your story and the time you have taken to record it for history. Thank you very much.